Title of this sermon is The Good Ground or The Christian Heart. In Matthew chapter 13, there are seven parables in which Jesus calls us back to the natural examples of nature to show us how the kingdom of God is, what the kingdom of heaven is like. First off, this is a parable of the sower. What is a parable? A parable is literally something laid alongside of another thing to compare it or to explain it. That's what a parable is. In the parable of the sower, God is speaking through the Messiah, and it is imperative that we listen. Today, in our modern day society, the display and works of men take hold on us in that we can hardly see beyond the street in which we live. We are so completely occupied with the affairs of men, the affairs of this world, and even of our own selfish gain, that it is no wonder that we have so little time, so little of God in our lives. We need to be more concerned with what God is concerned with. God is concerned with the heart and with bearing fruit. God wants the heart to be perfected and fruit to be born. But in order to bear good fruit, you must have good ground. The question is your heart good ground? There are four types of grounds in this parable mentioned. These represent the kinds of hearers which I'll call, one, the wayside ground, or the hard-hearted hearer; two, the stony ground, or the shallow-hearted hearer; three, the ground among thorns, or the crowded-hearted hearer. If you don't remember this, I'll be saying this continually. And then if you don't remember afterwards, I'll give you a copy of my outline, and you can look it up. And four, the good ground, which is the Christian heart. By the wayside, the stony grounds, the ground among thorns, and the good ground, which is the Christian heart. Keep in mind how we hear. These are the hearing of the heart. Keep in mind how we hear is very important in our everyday Christian lives. Our hearing is judged on the basis of what is said being put into action by the hearer. In other words, what we do based on what we said, based on what we hear, proves that we heard correctly what we've done. Hope you understand that. Okay? Be open in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. He was preaching to a bunch of folk. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. This is the hard-hearted hearer. Verse 5, And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. This is the shallow-hearted hearer. Verse 7, And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. This is the crowded-hearted hearer. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This is the good-hearted hearer, or the Christian heart. Notice that even when the heart is good ground, only about one third of these will bear fruit a hundredfold. Verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Here we see that we have four different types of hearts, and only one kind bears fruit. The heart, you have the hard heart. Does it produce fruit? No. The shallow heart, does it produce fruit? No. The crowded heart, does it produce fruit? No. The Christian heart, does it produce fruit? Yes. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said, and we'll explain about the hearts in detail a little more afterwards. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Verse 10, he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. In Luke, this parable, he explains it a little better. In Luke 8:18, it says, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and to whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have, seemeth or thinketh that he hath. Yeah. Verse 13, we are back in Matthew 13:13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. You can refer to Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. In Hebrews 5:11, it mentions something about being dull of hearing, and I'm going to quote it. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, I got to get that pronunciation right, hard to be uttered. My excuse is I'm from New York, and I can't pronounce my THs or my Rs very well, okay? Uttered, okay? Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. This is talking about the first principles, which I'll speak more of about this later, the first principles, because we need to know the first principles. But back to Matthew 13:16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see more things, to see those things which ye see, and have not. Verse 17 again, I'm going to repeat it. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them. The prophets and the righteous men of old, they desire to see this. They desire to hear Jesus. They desire to hear his words, the words of the very Son of God, and have not seen them. And to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. If you confer to Peter, 1 Peter 1:10, Peter explains this, how these prophets of old did not hear these things of Christ, which the apostles did. Peter, 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. The old prophets of old, they searched it diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, unto the apostles, they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them, the apostles, which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. What does that mean? To me, that means that the prophets, even though they prophesied, they didn't understand what they were saying. They didn't have the full understanding of it. The Holy Ghost came upon them and they spoke something. And they're like, what does that really mean? They knew that there was a Christ coming. They knew that from the Word of God, even Genesis. They knew there was a coming Messiah. But there were some things that were hidden from them, believe it or not. We'd like to welcome our Radio Orange. Radio Orange. No, we like to encourage our Radio Orange. Sister's wearing orange, and I just can't get the orange out of it. And other sister right here. Okay, so I'm going to close my eyes and do it right. We like to encourage our radio audience, okay, now, to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for download of great a cappella singing and Fair to Midland. As I continue, I'll get Fair to Midland, but right now, great a cappella singing and gospel preaching. Okay, but I will become Fair to Midland someday. Okay, please, don't. Thank you. Matthew 13:18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, here Jesus is about to tell his disciples in detail what every part of the parable means so that they would understand. Verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then come the wicked one. Then cometh the wicked one. In Mark 4:15, it says, Satan, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. This is the hard-hearted hearer. Who is the hard-hearted hearer? The hard-hearted hearer is the one that don't hear the word of God. What? It says, and understandeth it not. I'm going to read 19 again. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, how do you prove that you understand what the word is saying? You prove it by doing it. So these hard-hearted hearers, they don't do what is said. They don't do it at all. You invite them to church, they don't come. They don't do it at all, because if they did do it, they show their understanding by their works. If you don't prove your works that you are doing the will of God, then you don't understand like you think. We got to do what is commanded us to do. Okay? Verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Verse 21, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. In Mark 4:17, it uses the word affliction also. And in Luke 8:13, it uses the word temptation. So tribulation, persecution, affliction and temptation, by and by, those are offended. They come to church for a little while, and then somebody offends them, and they say, well, I'm not going to church anymore, any longer, and you never see them again. They are the boo-hoo, oh, I'm so sorry, I need my head rubbed in my belly, But they can grow to become Christians, you see? Those babes in Christ, you know what I do? You know what we do as mature Christians, and I'm getting to them myself, hopefully. We go to them, and we help them, and we encourage them, and we try to bring them back to Christ continually. Of course we do. Of course we do. We should. Okay?
But this is the shallow-hearted hearer. You don't see them in church for long. Verse 22, he also that receiveth. Now listen to this. In verse 21 again, it says, by and by he is offended. Well, who's the one that's offending them? You know, they may get offended by things, but a lot of times, the person that who is offending them is the person that I'm going to speak about right now. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns, there is thorns among this seed, is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. In Mark 4:19, it says also the lust of other things. In Luke 8:14, it says the pleasures of this life. So, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, and the pleasures of this life, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He could have been fruitful. These are what I call, and this fits into this category, the wolves in sheep's clothing. You can add them among those that are choked, that are among thorns. They're here in church. You know they're here in church. They come to church faithfully every Sunday. They give a good shmoo, you know, who holier than thou, but they when church's service is over, they go right back to sin. They go right back to fornicating and drug dealing and dope smoking and drunkenness and wickedness and lying and stealing. And people see it. They see it in your sinful life. And those are the little ones, the shallow ones, that they're the ones offended by you. And they're off and they're gone. But this is the crowded-hearted hearer. Okay? Verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Understandeth, they mean that they do it. They do. If I'm going to be a good-hearted hearer, I got to do what the word of God says to do and show it in my life. Let your light so shine bright, so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay? So, but he that receiveth the seed, verse 23 again, but he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This is the Christian heart, okay? The Christian heart produces fruit. The hard-hearted hearer doesn't produce fruit. The shallow-hearted hearer doesn't produce fruit. The crowded-hearted hearer doesn't produce good fruit, but the good-hearted hearer, yes. Now, there is evil fruit that is produced by wicked people, the children of the devil. But listen, we'll talk about that later. The true Christian is one that bears good fruit. Characteristics of fruit. What makes fruit? I have a chart over here. Problem is I got this little microphone. And whenever I move, it bumps. So I'm trying to walk like the ghost and not bump and make too much noise. Ha! Characteristics of fruit. What is it? Three things I want to point out. One is that the fruit has the outward meat or flesh. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, goodness, gentleness, faith. That's the fruits of the Spirit. That is what tastes good. That is what nourishes the body, okay, spiritually, okay? And you have another characteristic of fruit is the seed. So what is the seed? We should know what the seed is. Matthew 13:19, it says, the word of the kingdom. The seed is the word of the kingdom, the gospel included, because you cannot enter into the kingdom without obeying the gospel. So, the word of the kingdom, in Luke 8:7, it says, it is the word of God. So, though we have people that may seem to have the outward appearance
of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, gentleness, goodness, faith, but does not have the word of God, then they cannot bear or produce any fruit, any good fruit. Got that? Okay. And number three, what does the fruit of the Spirit and the seed, which is the word of God, produce? It produces fruit, which is the souls. The soul is fruit. John 15, 1. It says, John 15, 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I want to point out something. You see the seed? If a fruit had no seed, and you pulled it out of the branch, and you placed it anywhere, under your armpit, on the floor, on the table, on your head, okay? Could that fruit produce seed? No. It could not produce seed except it abide in the vine. We have to abide in Christ. Simple, simple, simple ABCs of Christian living, okay? Verse 3, we are on John 15, verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So, if I no longer abide in Christ, can I bear fruit? I must continue to abide in the doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 4 again. Abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The same winseth much souls to Christ. Okay? For without me, ye can do nothing. To bear seed, you must abide in Christ to bear fruit. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You can see this as somewhat of a parable of what hell is like. And we don't want to be there now, do we? We don't want to go there. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So, we as Christians should be in the will of God. And if we're in the will of God, then we should desire what God desires. And if we desire what God desires, God's will be done, then God's will be accomplished. And we rejoice. So, we need to align our will with God's will. Amen? Verse 7 again, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Brother Kelly Lawson does the will of God. And I believe that he's going to recover. I do. Why, of this great work that we're doing, I can't see that, I just can't see it. As long as he's continuing to do a great work, why would God put an end to this? I just don't see it. But we should pray, that the will of God be done, even through him, even through all of us. I ask for your prayers as a preacher, and I will always do that so that I can preach better, because I think prayer works. I believe prayer works. Isn't that faith? So if you guys continue to pray for me, I should continue to do a good job. Hallelujah. As I know that you've prayed for Brother Kelly Lawson, because... But to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Okay?
Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Are you a disciple of Christ? Well, are you bearing fruit? Are you winning souls to Christ? Fruit cannot produce more fruit without the seed. The seed is the word of God, the gospel included. If you don't have the word of God, you can't produce good fruit. Okay? The result of fruit is nourishment, spiritual nourishment, for perfection, for edification, for growth and maturity. And it, with the seed, it bears more fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is pleasing, and the seed gives the continuation of bearing fruit. Good-hearted hearers should produce good-hearted hearers who produce good-hearted hearers, and so on, and so on, and so forth. We'd like to encourage our radio audience, I didn't say orange this time, to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123, or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for download of great a cappella singing and gospel preaching. Only the hearing heart produces good fruit. Only the good ground produces good fruit. What does this mean? I'll explain it in plain English. If we are bearing fruit, we are winning souls. We are equipping and preparing soul winners and perfecting saints as we perfect ourselves with the Word of God. We do this with the Word of God. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The apostles' doctrine, by the way, is the word of God. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He loved us unconditionally, but we have to receive it conditionally. He loved us grace unconditionally, but we receive it faith conditionally. We must do what is commanded us to do. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me, the apostle Paul says this, and he's speaking of the apostles also, because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit and gave the word of God. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Know the gospel and how to obey it. And when you win a soul to Christ, teach them the gospel and how to obey it, and teach them how to win other souls to Christ. When you win a soul to Christ, they should be properly trained in what the gospel is and how to obey it. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through chapter 6, verse 3, the Apostle Paul speaks on what is called the first principles. Hebrews 5 and 10, starting with verse 10. Called of God, speaking of Jesus, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Verse 12, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, when you should be teaching how to those that have become Christians, when you should be teaching them how to win souls to Christ, verse 12 again, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. What are the first principles? It's basically this: the gospel, how to obey it, and how to win souls to Christ. But let me read on. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Dull of hearing, they have become dull of hearing. Do you think, listen to this, do you think that a person who is a Christian, who's a Christian right now, who produces good fruit, who is a good-hearted hearer, do you think that a person that is a Christian can become hard-hearted, can become shallow-hearted, can become crowded-hearted when they once were good? Surely, you guys, I can fall backwards. I can fall by the wayside. That's why I need you. That's why we need each other. Good Christians, to hang around good Christians, to help, to encourage, to comfort, to exhort one another. Hallelujah. The answer is yes. I'm going to say this. We miss out. Those that are dull of hearing, we miss out on what we could have learned because we were too busy blabbing. Okay? The problem is, listen to this. The problem is that we have two mouths and one ear. We ought to throw away that extra mouth and grow another ear. What I mean is we talk twice as much as we should, and we listen half as much as we ought to, and we don't learn nothing. Brother Kelly, he would invite me. He'd say, hey, come into the vehicle with me. Let's talk. Let's go here. And I go here with them. I go here with Brother Kelly, go there with Brother Kelly. And he's got something to teach me. But he starts to talk, and then all of a sudden, my mouth goes a mile a minute. Blah, 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 saying nothing. And then after that, he's one place, and then he's gone. And then after that, he has no more time to teach me what he could have taught me had I shut up and listened. Brother Kelly, I need you here. I need you here, and when you do come back, right, I'm going to shut up and listen and learn what I'm supposed to learn. That will make me better. Better. Okay, so fruit must have seed to bear more fruit. The seed is the word of God, Luke 8:7. The apostles' doctrine is the word of God, Acts 2:42 and 2 Timothy 2:1-2. You can refer to those. Well, I'll tell you, Acts 2:42, I'll read it for you. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And in 2 Timothy 2:1, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in his grace. And I read this before. It's important. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou the faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. We're going to talk a little more about the first principles. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now listen to this, because I am somewhat of a babe myself. And if I were to listen to the to those that were mature in Christ, and those that maybe I could have bared, well, I could have learned something more. Okay? Forgive me, Lord. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, now listen to this and pay attention to this. If you want to be mature, you got to know this. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age. How do you get of a full age? How do you become mature? Even those who by reason of what? Use. If you want to grow and be mature in Christ, go out there and win souls to Christ. Practice the fruits of the Spirit. Exercise that in your life. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use has their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How does one become a full age? Simply this, the more you preach, the better you get at it, if you preach the truth. The more you do the will of God, the better you'll get at it. But you have to study the word of God to know what it is before you do it. The word of God. Look at this. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I studied this, guys. I took lessons and gathered all the information so that I could properly, hermeneutically, big $50 word, divide the word of truth. I took Brother Kelly's old sermons, and I couldn't put everything in there because he's got a lot of knowledge. Maybe the next time I preach on this, you'll hear more of what I've learned. God bless you also. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The more you exercise, the stronger you're going to get. The more you run, the faster you're going to get. And so on, okay? Back to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. He's talking about those that you keep got to learn and relearn. Well, memorize the gospel. And a math teacher doesn't forget math. If you're going to remember it, if you do it again, I can guarantee you, you're going to remember it. If you practice winning souls to Christ with the gospel, I can guarantee you're going to remember it. But if you don't, you'll probably forget. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. He's talking about the people that should have been grown already. Of the doctrine of baptisms, we have already been baptized, haven't we? And of the laying of hands, we already have the Holy Spirit, right? We did that by obedience to the gospel. And of the resurrection of the dead. We already know and have obeyed the gospel. And we know that we have to remember it. And of eternal judgment. We don't have to worry about eternal judgment. We are living by faith, aren't we? Aren't we? But we should preach the first principles and the gospel to those that don't have it so that we can win them to Christ. Verse 3, and this we will do if God permit. Preach to the lost. We should go on to more mature things because we know the gospel already and we have already, and we're ready to learn meat. We have graduated from milk and are ready for meat, aren't we? But we still need to win others to Christ. This is our job as Christians. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll start with verse 14. Okay? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. This doctrine that we learn is the doctrine of Christ. We believe that, don't we? Okay? That is faith. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Unto whose salvation? Well, Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Back to verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, perfecting the saints, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The problem is there are people that still can't remember the gospel and how to obey it. They still don't know how to win a soul to Christ. That's a big problem. That's a big problem in the church. If you've been a Christian for so long, you should know how to win a soul to Christ. 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect. Listen to this. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is in the Great Commission, and it is to win souls to include the restoring of the backslider and perfecting the saints. Why? For the edification of the church, the kingdom of God, to the glory of God. What is our purpose in life? What is God concerned with? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives? We ought to know that. It's to win souls to Christ. And it is to perfect the saints for the edification of the church, to the glory of God. When a soul is won to Christ, guess what? God gets glory. When a backslider repents from his sinful ways, God gets glory. When saints are perfected, when saints grow to maturity by reasons of use, of course, God gets glory, because those are the saints that can win souls to Christ and bring the backslider back to Christ. To God be the glory. So, win souls to Christ, that's milk. Perfect the saints, that's with meat, with the epistles, the doctrine of Christ. I got a question for you. Would you commit to someone your teaching, knowing that they wouldn't teach others? If Brother Kelly lives for 20 more years and teaches, do you think he wants to teach the people that are going to hold it and hoard it themselves and not teach anybody? No, he's going to want to teach the people that he knows is going to teach other people. I want that same thing. But we teach anyway, right? To anyone, everybody? Hebrews 6:1, perfection. He's talking about perfection. Would you commit to someone who won't teach others? Listen to this. This is, we call this an illustration, okay? It's like a king who has 100 sons. A king who has 100 sons and all of them are sterile. None of them can have children. What of that kingdom? That kingdom has an end. When that last child is dead, then boom, that's the end of the seed. But we need to, by the gospel, win souls to Christ. So if you have the gospel, you got to know how to win souls to Christ. If I preach to 100 people the gospel, and they become Christian, and they all forget the gospel, then guess what? They have become unprofitable. If I forget the gospel, I have become unprofitable. And what's my end? To be burnt. To be cast out into the lake of eternal fire as unprofitable. If we preach the gospel, we should preach the gospel. We've got to know what it is, okay? If we preach the gospel to 100 people and they become Christians, but they all forget the gospel, then how can the kingdom grow and be edified? Now, listen to this. There is good fruit, and there is also evil fruit. There is wicked fruit also. And the wicked fruit is produced by the children of the devil. Matthew 13:24. I'm gonna go quickly through this. Another parable spake he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, we are Matthew 13:24 and 25. But while men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. This is the word, the Greek word, and I can't pronounce it, Zizanian. That's darnel. That is false grain. That is the tares. The thing about darnel is darnel looks so much like wheat. It looks so much like wheat that an inexperienced farmer could not tell the difference. Guys, we got to become experienced farmers through use, exercising the spirit that is in us, okay? They could not tell the difference. Unlike wheat, which was nourishment, okay? Darnel had no nourishing value. What it did is it had a drunken, stupefying effect. It made you stupid. Just like the word of the devil. You think you're smart? You think you're pulling it over on us? Good gracious. You know, I can say this and not to hurt anybody's feelings, because say this to me. I say it to myself. Manuel, don't be stupid. Learn the word of God and do what it says to do. Unlike wheat, which is nourishment, Darnell had no nourishing and has a drunken effect. Kind of like how the word of God is spiritual nourishment and makes you wiser, doesn't it? And the word of the devil makes you stupider, even to the point of death. You have no nourishing value. But we all have the word of God. Verse 26, Matthew 13, 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, listen to this, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The bad Darnell, the bad seed, the good wheat. We have the good wheat right here, and this is the word of God. It is easy for us to be wise. If I reject this word of God even after I'm done preaching, then I've become a fool. Because the word of God is right in front of us. In order to win souls to Christ, we do that by the gospel. We must preach the gospel. In order to win a soul to Christ, we must know what the gospel is. So what is the gospel? The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If the gospel is death, burial, and resurrection, how does one obey death, burial, and resurrection? There has to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection in your life, in the life of the non-Christian, to become a Christian. Repent of your sins, death to sins. Burial, you're baptized in water. Resurrection, you walk in newness of life. You receive the Holy Spirit. If any of you are not a Christian, you can become one, not right now. You can come right up and we'll get you baptized and you will rejoice in Christ. If any of you are in need of prayer, you can fill out the response card that is in the back of the pew and fill them out and bring them up to the front and we will pray for you. We'll put you on your prayer list. Why don't you do that right now before it's everlasting too late? Why don't you do that not right now as we stand and sing our invitational song? Brother Eric?
To Jesus, he will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, do not tarry, enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the morrow, place a calling me to pay. Come to Jesus. to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come just come today. Come to Jesus, dying
Jesus, come to Jesus.